September 9th, 2016. Vav, the sixth day of Elul, Tavshinayin Vav. We are in chapter 2 of Shmos, and we are up to Halacha Day. We're up to the Halacha that is learned out from the second chapter of Shmos. So there is a discussion that comes up over the course of this chapter. Right? One of the part of the narrative is that Batya finds Moshe, finds Moses, and he's crying, and Batya tries to nurse him, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, jumps out Miriam, says, "Hi, I'm here, and if you want this boy to be nursed, I have the perfect woman that will be able to do it. One of the Jewish women will be able to do it," and she brings the Jewish woman along. That happens to be Moshe's mother, and everything is wonderful. Moshe's mother nurses the baby, and then eventually the boy grows up and grows up in the house of Paro, and things continue on from there. So there is a comment that Rashi makes, which is based on the Gemara in Masechta Sota. This Gemara in Masechta Sota, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, discuss all of these stories. So the Gemara makes the following story: Maishna mina Ivrios. Why does she need to be nursed from a Hebrew woman? So we learn out here the following idea: Shachzira kol hamitzrios liyanek velo yanak. That this boy was passed around to all of the mitzris women and to be nursed, and he wouldn't nurse. I mean, it wasn't just Baki wasn't able to nurse this kid. None of the women were able to nurse this kid. So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, why? Hashem said, Pesha asid ledaber im hashchina yinek daver tamei. The mouth that in the future is going to speak with the divine presence, it's going to nurse from a impure woman, a non-Jewish woman. Right, that the who's going to actually know things? They're the ones who actually nurse in a good way. Right, that they collect from the they collect milk from the breasts of kosher women. So what halacha does one learn out from here? Does one learn out in halacha from that Gemara? What halacha? What's just going on there?
Nursing.
Nursing, yeah. That nursing from a non-Jewish woman. Is that good or no good? You think it's not kosher? Okay. So there is a Gemara in the Masechta Avodah, not a Gemara, a Mishnah in the Masechta Avodah Zarah. In the Avodah Zarah, that's where it discusses the relationship between Jews and non-Jews, the status of non-Jews in terms of their worshipping of Avodah Zarah. And there is a Mishnah on Daf Kaf Vav Amud Aleph, where it says that a Jewish woman should not provide, should not be a midwife for a non-Jewish woman. That's really for a different reason. And a non-Jewish woman could be a midwife for a Jewish woman, and a non-Jewish woman could also be a nursing person. You could also have your child be nursed by a non-Jewish woman. The Mishnah says that explicitly, that is considered okay. You're permitted to you're allowed to have a Jewish baby be nursed by a non-Jewish woman. So there is a statement of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel appears, he's before Rashi even, one of the very, very early Rishon. Rabbeinu Chananel says, yeah, what's that Mishnah talking about in Avodah Zarah? That's only talking about B'makom Sakana, or some kind of dangerous situation, or some kind of difficult thing comes up, and therefore you can have the baby nursed by now. In the normal circumstances, it shouldn't be done. However, the Rashba is quoted saying, no, that's not true. That you're allowed, that Gemara in Mishnah in Avodah Zarah is talking about Me'ikar Adin. That is the halacha. The halacha is you're permitted to have, you're permitted to be nursed by a, you're not allowed to have a Jewish baby be nursed by a non-Jewish woman. That's what the Rashba says. And that seems to be also what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So it comes along the Torah Tamima. Right? Torah Tamima is this sefer. He's the one who quotes the Gemaras that appear that have a discussion with the Chumash, and then he gives you his own commentary on the bottom. So he turns to that Gemara in Sota with regards to Moshe nursing from the non-Jewish woman, and he says that Mishnah is actually a proof that it is permitted to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. Because the Gemara didn't say, how could Moshe nurse from a non-Jewish woman? Moshe is a tzaddik, Moshe is a Jewish person, it's not allowed. The Gemara said, this boy, who's going to one day have conversations, who's going to speak to the Shechina, he can't be nursed by a non-Jewish woman. That's because of Moshe's uniqueness that he can't. So the Torah Tamima says, so what comes out from that? That a regular Jewish boy, so he is permitted to do it. Now, you run into a problem there, right? There's a couple of, right, because every Jewish woman is going to think that my son could be like Moshe, right? I think the Gemara comments that by Shmuel, when Shmuel was born, right, so Shmuel was promised to Chana, and she was given instructions that you're going to name this boy Shmuel. So, I'm sorry, everybody knew that there was a boy that was going to be born in the next year whose name is Shmuel, that's going to be this leader of the Jewish people. So all the women named their kids Shmuel. Right? Because my kid's going to have that potential to do it. So every person perhaps thinks that way. But the Torah Tamima says, no, that's a halacha for a specific circumstance, but the regular person's not going to be that. Now, I was just thinking, why not? Maybe every Jewish mother should be preparing her child to be like Moshe. So what do we say in Yigdal, right? In the Yigdal tefillah that we say at the end of davening Friday night, Lo kam ki Yisrael kemoshe od. That there's never going to be another prophet like Moshe. What was unique about Moshe? That Moshe was able to have conversations with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was able to speak mouth to mouth, so to speak, with Hashem. Other prophets, right, they heard, or even if they might have had conversations, I mean, we have recordings of prophets having discussions with God, but those discussions are not like Moshe had. Moshe is talking like I'm talking to you. Moshe was talking to Hashem. While these prophets were having prophetic conversations, not really speaking. So this issue of the mouth that nurse from a non-Jewish woman, how could he possibly, that is a uniquely Moshe issue. So I think that's what the Torah Tamima would say. That was only Moshe. There is never going to be another Moshe. So therefore, there's no need to have this concern for the standard child that is born. So it is recorded as being a midas chasidus, being a righteous act, that this child is not going to be, that we're not going to do it, but mi'ikar adin, it is okay. Right. So there is a comment that the Ramah is only quoted by the Ramah. It's not actually quoted by the Shulchan Aruch itself. So he explains over here. I should have brought one with me. I forgot to bring it with me. So the Ramah says as follows. This is the way he reads. Ta'afal pi de medina mutter lahanik min hamitzris, even though it is in theory permitted, mi'al pi halacha, according to the law, you are permitted to have a child nursed from a non-Jewish woman, from mitzris, mikol makom im efshar lahanik min Yisrael, is einu nachon lahanik min hamitzris. You get a Jewish woman, it's better for her not to come from a mitzris woman. Why? Mifnei shetoven shel Yisrael noach yosrim yishum duraglayim mitzos vehim rachmanis uvashan svetefa. Because the child absorbs midos from the woman, and the Jewish woman has these she's used to doing mitzvos, and she's merciful, and she has ubayshanim, and they are modest, and that's their nature. So therefore, that's what's going to be passed on to the child as well. The Ramah adds in the following interesting halacha. He says v'chein, and so to v'chein lo tochal haminekes afil Yisrael is dvar ma'asurim. And even a Jewish woman. Even a Jewish woman, you shouldn't nurse from a Jewish woman if she eats non-kosher things. That's what the Ramah continues on to say. Now, it's a little bit of a problem, right? If a woman is eating non-kosher things, she's probably not looking up Yoredeya Simon Payal of Sif Zion to see what the appropriateness is of nursing her child afterwards. But the truth is, that's not necessarily so true. Sometimes many people are more careful about their children being right than they are about themselves. But whatever, is that what it's just talking about? It's talking about this woman who eats non-kosher things? So the way that the Shach and the Taz, the commentators on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the way that they understand it is, they know. Let's say a woman who has to have some kind of medication. She has to eat some kind of non-kosher food because of health issues, or she was in a dangerous situation, and therefore she had to eat something because of that. So it's saying that she's included like the non-Jewish woman, right? Anybody who ate non-kosher things, so they shouldn't be. It's better if they're not the ones that are nursing the children. Okay, this was obviously a much bigger issue, 100, 200 years ago, right? When people would nurse and they would find nursing, people to actually go through. So we see that all the time in the Tanakh. It's not so common today after the advent of formula. Fine. He has an interesting comment where he says that line Yisrael is, it really didn't really mean that, it really meant something else, but okay, we'll leave that for another time. So then there's, however, an interesting question, because there is a There is a Gemara in Ksuvas that talks about the following idea. One of the requirements that a woman had to do for a man, the Gemara in Ksuvas is discussing the marital and often monetary relationship between a husband and a wife. Right? That's what's going on there, especially in the middle chapters over there. So one of the things that a woman was responsible to provide was nursing the children. Right? That was one of the jobs that the woman had. So the Gemara then has a discussion about, well, let's say she has a few maidservants that are around. So what jobs of the woman does the maidservant take over? And depending on how many maidservants she has, right, that's how many jobs the maidservant is going to do. Right, so as she gets more and more maidservants, more and more responsibilities get shifted from the woman to the maidservant. So I think it's if you have two maidservants, so then the maidservant's going to take care of the nursing of the child as well. I assume this is presuming that it's biologically possible for that to happen. But that's the case. However, the Gemara says that if once the child has gotten to the point where it recognizes the mother, it will only nurse from the mother, right? And then once that happens, so the mother doesn't have a right to say, oh, we'll just hire a maidservant and let her take care of it, because now the child has become
bonded,
attached to the mother. So the Gemara then says, okay, well, how long does that take? How long does that take for the child to become bonded to the mother? And the Gemara has three possibilities that's put out. 30 days, 40 days, and 3 months. I think those are the three possibilities that are put out by the Gemara. And then the Gemara has a line that, well, it might not necessarily be that. It might just be, you know, whatever each child is going to be, different, subjective to each kid. So, asks the Rush and others that, well, wait a second, what happened with Moshe? Moshe was born, right? What did our story tell us? Moshe was born, and he was hidden with his mother. So our understanding was Moshe was born how long into the pregnancy? 6 months. And Yocheved had to get rid of him by the time 9 months came along in order to, because that's when everyone realized that she was having a child, etc. So she had a 3-month window. So how long was she presumably nursing Moshe for? 3 months. So asks the Rush, wait a second, we're trying to learn out this halacha and say Moshe was passed around, right? The image that you get from the Gemara is Moshe was passed around to all these Egyptian women. They try having Moshe nursed from these Egyptian women. Moshe refuses, and then finally they bring out Yocheved, and Moshe's will, without introduction of this as his mother, and Moshe is able to, nurse from her. Why? The Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. Because Moshe knew that these were non-Jewish women, and obviously Moshe would never nurse from a non-Jewish woman. So asks the Rush, wait a second. Moshe refused those other women because he was used to his mother. Right? That's the reason. You, how are you able to learn out any halacha from Moshe? Right? Forget the idea of, he was 3 months old. Is he really making these halachic understandings? Right? Forget that. The Gemara is assuming that that's happening.
That's also psychologically bound, so it could be
No, I understand, but the idea to rationally understand that Moshe as a 3-month-old is differentiating between who's nursing him,
right,
is difficult to understand. Okay. So we don't have to say that it's rational. We just have to say Moshe was Moshe, and that's just different, right? It's also not rational to explain that there was light emanating from Moshe's face, which we seem to understand happened. So okay, that doesn't bother me so much. But once we enter into the irrational world to start learning out halachos, so we still have a kasha on that. Right? How can you prove anything from Moshe if maybe the reason he only nursed from Yocheved was because he was used to Yocheved, not having anything to do with the fact that she was Jewish and not Jewish? That's the question that some raise.
Oh, I got it.
You got it now. Okay, good. So some explain that no, we just know that we just knew. Just as we knew that the reason is that Moshe, wasn't going to nurse from a non-Jewish woman, we also knew that despite the fact that he was used to his mother, still the real reason is X, Y, and Z. That's one idea that's thrown out. Another idea that the Rush says is that those numbers that are given in the Gemara are minimum numbers. When the Gemara said that you have after 4 weeks or after 30 days or 40 days or 3 months the child gets used to the mother, that's the minimum amount that the Gemara is giving. So the Gemara is saying if you've done it for that amount, the husband could say to the wife, you have to keep the kid. But it doesn't mean biologically that that is the average. It doesn't necessarily mean that that happens to all kids. So Moshe might have been above the minimum. Moshe might have taken longer for him to get used to his mother. He wasn't yet at that point, and then that's okay. The third passage, this I found the most interesting, is that the Rush suggests also that Yocheved, during those first 3 months, what was going on? Right, so Yocheved was, again, the theory is that after 6 months she gave birth to Moshe. She kept him hidden for 3 months. Right? And then at the end of 3 months she has to get rid of him because all the Egyptians are kind of knocking on the door saying, "We know you're due. Well, come on, where is the kid?" Mm-hmm. So how did Yocheved feed him for those 3 months? You think Yocheved nursed the kid for 3 months straight by herself without anyone knowing? No, that's not a good idea. Those people are going to figure out that she was nursing her kid. So rather, Yocheved passed around the child already at that point. Meaning that for the first 3 months that this child was alive, Yocheved was preparing him for the possibility, right, that she's not going to be able to stick with him for forever. So therefore, Yocheved, this idea in the Gemara is that it takes 3 months to get used to nursing from the mother if the mother is the sole nurser for those 3 months. But if there's other people that are involved, so then it's not going to be a problem. So Yocheved saw to it, Moshe's mother saw to it, that other people were going to be involved. So therefore, when it comes to 3 months later, so Moshe's not used to her. You see, Moshe, in theory, could go to an Egyptian woman. The reason why Moshe didn't go to an Egyptian woman is because she's an Egyptian woman. That's the reason.
So it wasn't psychological, it was spiritual, so to
speak. What?
It was not psychological, it was spiritual.
It was not psychological, it was spiritual.
That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, no, that's the idea. That's what we're trying to say. So therefore we can learn out a halacha, even though we're not totally learning out such a halacha, but in theory we can learn out a halacha from Moshe's actions, despite the fact that maybe there's just a psychological explanation. No, there's not a psychological explanation. You could actually learn out halacha from there. But what is the overall idea going on here? That children shouldn't be nursed from non-Jewish women? What is this discussion about? The discussion seems to be about the concept of timtum halev. That's the idea that a person who eats non-kosher things, so that does something to the insides of, it does something to the heart of a person. That truth is the Gemara in Yuma, where it actually talks about the idea of timtum halev. It doesn't just say it in the context of eating things, it talks about it in the context of all sins. That all sins come and manipulate the soul. They all sort of do things to attack the soul. But it seems to have been brought into halacha with regards to eating. And that actually has major ramifications with regards to feeding children. Because children have, what exactly is the kashrus requirements that one has when one has a child who's 1 year old, and when a child who's 5 years old, and a child who's 8 years old, and until they're bar mitzvah. I mean, once the child's bar mitzvah, they're required to take care of themselves. What about until that point? So we have an obligation to train our children in mitzvahs. The problem is that obligation to train children in mitzvahs is only from the time that they're able to be trained. So the age of chinuch. So the age of chinuch might mean different things for different children, for different and for different mitzvahs. But still, a 1 year old, a 2 year old is certainly not at the age of chinuch, right? So what about so the post can point out that is true, and therefore I don't really have to worry about my son, turning things on and off on Shabbos or doing all sorts of things. The only exception to that rule is kashrus. The understanding is that things that they eat, that becomes more problematic. There is, I think we might have spoken about this here in the past, I just couldn't figure out when we possibly would have, but there is a discussion about the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair. What? That he wouldn't eat truma, that he would make that the donkey was careful not to eat things, not to eat truma, not to eat things that they weren't permitted to. So the Gemara makes a comment that Hashem looks after, if Hashem even looks out after the animals of the righteous to make sure they don't eat things that are no good. So Hashem certainly looks out for the tzaddikim themselves to make sure they don't eat things that are no good. So the Netziv comments that, yeah, what is that talking about? That's only really talking about food. Yeah, Hashem looks out to make sure that tzaddikim don't eat food that's no good. Why? Because if it's other types of actions that are problematic, Hashem should look out to make sure that the tzaddik doesn't put on shatas, doesn't put on things that are wool and linen mixed together that he's not allowed to wear. Why don't we say that? So he says, no, because food, because if he puts on shatnas that he didn't know about, so okay, he did something wrong, but it's not going to necessarily impact the insides. Mm-hmm. Food, that impacts him whether he knows it or not. whether he realizes it or not. So that's why that's the thing that God looks out for in order to make sure that it doesn't impact the person. One more note on that. There is a discussion that when one enters into, when B'nai Yisrael came into the land of Israel, this was in the Parsha 2 weeks ago, so they were permitted to eat. There was a specific dispensation that when they come into the land, they were allowed to eat all the food that was left over by the non-Jews that they left behind. Kasli the Chaziri. The foods that were all like in their cabins. So they were allowed to come in and take all of that food. So the Meshech Chachma comments that, and they pointed that was a one-time deal, and whatever reasons that was, but that was for when they came in. So the Meshech Chachma points out that if you look at the psukim there, in Dvarim, so it talks about that dispensation, you're allowed to do it, and the very next pasuk is, oh, and you have to make sure, and look out to make sure, oh, let's find it, sorry. Deuteronomy 6:11. Deuteronomy 6:11. It says, Hashem will bring you in 10. Hashem will bring you into the land which He promised you, and you'll see what Yaakov says, Lach, Arim Gdlos Hotoz Sherlovaniti. Right? And you'll have great and good cities that you didn't build, meaning they were already built. Uvatim Malayim Koltuv, and the house will be filled of all good things. Asher Lo Milesa, which you didn't fill. Uvarus Chatsuvim Asher Lo Chatsafta, Krum Vizesim Asher Lo Natata, Bechalta Vesavata. And it's going, and chisel cisterns that you didn't chisel, and orchards and olive trees that you didn't plant, and you will eat and you will be satisfied. Right? So that's giving permission to eat the food that was left behind by the non-Jews when they ran away. So what's the very next pasuk? Hishamer locha pentishcha ches Hashem asher utziyacha mi'artisarim be'yisavadim. So be careful lest you forget Hashem. I mean, I'm giving you permission to eat those things, but be careful that you don't forget Hashem. Why do we need that? Why do we need that reminder right now? So says the Meshech Chachma, because the Torah is giving you permission to eat things that aren't kosher. So in order to counter, that's going to have an effect. So in order to counteract that effect, you need the extra reminder of, make sure you don't forget Hashem. I was reading in the autobiography of Rav Gorin that just came out in English. So he discusses during the War for Independence, I couldn't find this specific spot this morning when I looked over it quickly, but during the War for Independence in Yerushalayim. So what happened? The British were all there, and May 5th happens, and all the British leave. They just evaporate. Right? They all get on the boats, and the British are out of there. Right. So they apparently left behind. All these canned beef. These things of canned beef, which apparently the British soldiers ate, like that's what they, that was like a big thing to eat. And this was like quality stuff. It was all canned. It was good food. So the question came up, could we eat that? And one of the suggestions was, perhaps, is that like this pasuk, that you're coming into the land to conquer it after halacha hasn't applied in 3,500 years. Perhaps the same halacha would apply when you're coming into the land. Conquerors and maybe these things. He ended up only permitting it for those that were sick and ill and wounded, things like that. He did permit it.
What? After the British left, Jerusalem was under siege. There was starvation.
That's true. No, but this was not talking about, oh, we have to do it because of the starvation issue. Yeah. This was, no, we don't have that much food, and it would be helpful, and this is, and it's not just we don't have that much food, the food that we have isn't so great, and this food is available, and it is good food.
Okay.
So could we partake? So I think he permitted it like to be used in the hospitals, but didn't permit it for the regular soldiers. But it's pretty, remarkable. After 3,500 years, that all of a sudden this pasuk that had laid dormant and it all of a sudden comes back to life. Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 6, verse 11. 974 and 5 for those keeping score at home. Yes. All right. So anyway, this comes out of that pasuk. So with that, this is then a little bit more. I mean, even though Moshe, the Torah to me wants to say that Moshe was permitted to eat it. Moshe was not only Moshe; it was only specifically Moshe that should avoid it. Others perhaps would permit it, but we still have further concerns with regards to eating food from non-Jews that totally isn't kosher, as well as from nursing. As well, there are concerns that their food that they ate came from not kosher things. And that concern as well continues to exist. And it seems to be that if we're going to permit the nursing from non-Jews, we should at least require them to try to eat the local food. Yes.
It's permitted to nurse a baby from a non-kosher animal, which is another step. And Ralph
Milk from a non-kosher animal.
Milk from a non-kosher
animal. Yeah,
like horse milk.
And it's a, from that, where Rabbeinu Hananel said, that's a pikuach nefesh.
Right, that would only be in the case of pikuach nefesh.
But no, I mean, no, I think that nursing a baby is pikuach nefesh.
Oh, it's by definition pikuach nefesh. Right. So, all right, we'll go off tape.